Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey guys, today with me I have John Lee Dumas. He is a founder and host of Entrepreneurs on Fire. And I don't think he needs an introduction, actually. Hey, John.
Hey, what's happening, brother?
I think everybody knows you on the interwebs. So tell me, this is what I've been curious about. I followed you for a while. I know you used to be in the DC and, you started a podcast and you've created thousands of them, right? You created a community. You've released so many books. But I bet, and you probably maybe mentioned this somewhere, that somewhere along the lines, you've had to hit some plateaus, right? Like you can't just grow all the time. I'm kind of curious from your perspective, because you have a huge brand, how you look at those.
You know, I think I'm currently in a plateau right now. You know, I really do think so. And I don't necessarily think the plateaus are a bad thing. I think a lot of people, especially like in this kind of entrepreneurial Gary Vaynerchuk fueled world, are just like grow, 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 add team, add spend, more, more, more. And hey, that works for some people and that's good for some people, but that's not for everybody. And that's not the kind of business and lifestyle I'm trying to grow. Like I really love the idea of these massive sprints and then having this nice recoup, kind of look around, you know, test the water, see what's working, see what's not working, see what worked during that sprint and what didn't work. And then just kind of really take my time and say, hey, what's next? Like let's be really intentional because, you know, for me, it's not all about, you know, maximizing revenue or maximizing audience size or reach. You know, it's about maximizing the overall balance of life. And so, you know, health, wellness. They are a huge priority for me and they take a lot of time and energy and focus away from Entrepreneurs on Fire and that whole business side of things. But for me, that's a trade-off that not only am I willing to make, but I am absolutely committed to making. And so plateaus, great. I love them. I embrace them. And I think other people should too. I don't think everybody should, but I think that people should not be afraid of embracing plateaus. If you kind of have more of my mindset, my idea of, listen, let's put the nose to the grindstone. Let's crush it. Let's see how it works. And then let's stop. Let's break. You know, how many times do you see people go and sprint a marathon? You don't, because they can't, you know, they set a good, nice pace and they just plod along and they cross the finish line a couple hours later. Whereas for me, I like to sprint, you know, and then stop and then completely catch my breath, look around and see what's next.
So during a plateau, and I've seen these sprints of yours, which some of them are incredible, but then you do stop. How do you evaluate opportunities, right? Because usually when someone's plateauing, they try new things.
I think I really turn introspective. Like I really dial up my meditation. I dial up my journaling. I go on real long walks and, you know, I just really think about what I've done and what I want to do. And I really kind of put myself in that place because, you know, now that I've kind of see how things have worked out, I really kind of just say to myself, okay, if you want to do that, let's really kind of play that game now. Like, what does that look like intraday? Like it might sound like a good idea on paper, but what about in life? And I'm really able to kind of play that virtual reality game of living what that would be day to day and be like, you know, it sounds good and it looks good on paper, but that wouldn't just be something that I'm going to be excited about doing still 6 months from now. So then I stop and I adjust and I pivot and I go somewhere else. And, you know, for me, that's the kind of mindset that I want, because when I'm on, I want to be all on. And when I'm off, you know, I really want to be intentional about what that next focus is going to be before I hit that green button again to kind of kick it into hyperdrive.
So moving along that line, if you do think, okay, my virtual reality game said this is a good idea. So how do you decide how much action you're actually going to take before you stop and figure out if this is working or not? Because when you're taking massive action, it's sometimes super hard to keep track of, you know, how well is this working, especially if you have other stuff going on at the same time too?
I think it's just a continual checking in, putting your finger on the pulse. You know, that's why I'm big on morning routines that involve meditation, that involve journaling, to continuously check in and see, how am I feeling about this? Like, you know, am I really waking up in the morning excited about how the day's going to unfold? And if the answer is no, too many days in a row, then it's really time to shift things up, because, you know, I could be doing a million things right now, but I'm really intentional about making sure the things that I do are things that I'm looking forward to do when I wake up in the morning. And if I go too many days in a row where I'm like, I'm not super excited about today, like, then I kind of start to question and start to make some adjustments and pivots. Like, it's okay to have a day like that every now and then. That's fine. It's going to happen. It's life. But it shouldn't be every day for too many days in a row.
What if you're waking up and you're saying, this isn't making me super happy, but it's making me money? And like right now, you do have a lot of businesses. So I know it's a little different when you have multiple income streams. But when someone has that first one, you know, often it's, well, you know, I mean, money is money, right? Got to pay the bills.
Absolutely. And I think that's, a really case-by-case scenario. I think that you've got to pay the bills first. You know, you have responsibilities. You got to take care of, you know, X, Y, or Z. And frankly, a lot of people listening, and, you know, to some degree, myself included back in the day, we put ourselves in terrible situations where we accrue a ton of college debt, where we accrue a mortgage debt, a car debt. You know, we spend money on clothes and travel that we don't need to be spending money on. So we don't have that disposable safety net, that kind of bank, you know, that war chest for when we really need it, to really kind of, you know, maybe take that risk and take that step that I was, you know, able to take that risk and step back in 2012 to launch the podcast and to quit my job. So I really feel like people need to say, hey, I have to put myself in a good financial place first. So if you're waking up in the morning and you're doing a job that's paying the bills and making you cash, or you have that revenue stream right now in your entrepreneurial business that's bringing in dollars, but you don't necessarily love it, sit down and come up with an exit plan. Maybe that exit plan is 2 years from now. You know, maybe it's 6 months from now. You're going to have to be patient. You know, you can't just snap your fingers and just start overnight. Like, you've got to do things the right way. Have some patience. Be intentional about it, but do come up with an exit plan and say, hey, I'm going to stop spending money on crap. You know, I'm going to pay down my debt. I'm, you know, going to downsize my home. You know, whatever you need to do to get yourself to a place where 2 years from now, you can just say, wow, I am ready to make this happen. And I can, because I have that war chest ready.
So when you do have that plateau and you're thinking of your next move, other than just meditation and thinking about the virtual day, do you have any other rules or constraints when you pick this next thing you're going to take massive action on?
Yeah, I love to bring it out to my audience and to do surveys and to ask questions and to get on calls one-on-one with people and say, like, why do you like this idea? You know, why don't you like this idea? Like, how could this idea be better? I love having those conversations. I love really kind of diving into, you know, who my core audience is and what their real needs are and getting their perspectives and their ideas and their thoughts that, frankly, you know, are just like outside of the box, because, you know, I'm in my own box. I'm in my own head. So I got to get outside of my head, and having conversations with people really in my audience really helped me do that.
What about things that you let go, right? Because there are so many things, like even on your website, that you're selling and doing, and how do you figure out which ones just to cut? And I mean, some of them might be making money.
I think you just have to be brutally honest. You know, it has to be, you know, yes, this might be making money, but how much is it costing me time? How much is it costing me energy? And, you know, how much is it taking away from future revenue that I could be making by taking back this current time and this current energy and applying it in other areas? Like, you have to do that analysis one by one. And that's why we shut down things. Like, we shut down our Mastermind, Fire Nation Elite. We shut down Webinar on Fire, which was our community on how to create webinars that convert. You know, we've taken things off the plate, but at the same time, we've brought new things to the forefront, like the Freedom Journal and the Mastery Journal, which after I created them and we launched them on Kickstarter and, you know, did what we did, are now kind of almost in an auto mode where we just make, you know, 10 to 20 to 30 sales a day on those journals. And they just are on that kind of auto mode where I can honestly look at them right now and say, you know, they aren't taking time. They aren't taking energy away from me. So these are great things in my business. So let's keep that going.
For a long time, when I looked at your sales funnel, a lot of the selling has been done through webinars. How is that evolving now, especially with all the conversational marketing that we're talking about with chatbots and getting just into people's conversations?
I still believe in the sentence, sales happen on live webinars. It's just a reality. And people will always be scared of doing webinars and not put the time and the energy in to do webinars. So webinars will always be a very valuable way for those that are willing to get out there and actually do the webinars. I do at least 3 live webinars every single month, oftentimes more, sometimes 6, sometimes as many as 10. It just depends on any given month. But at minimum, I'm doing 3 live webinars every single month, because sales happen on live webinars, period. But at the same time, you have to be where your audience is. And my audience is on Facebook. They are on Instagram. And if they, you know, go to my Instagram story yesterday and they watch me walk through the jungles of Puerto Rico and they see me kind of like finding dead iguanas and going to the beach and like tromping through, you know, these bushes and getting scratches, like they're becoming just more ingrained in my life and they're becoming, you know, more ingrained in my personality. And then they're realizing like, oh, like, you know, this guy JLD, he's not just like a voice on the radio, on the internet and the radio and whatever, but he's also just like a dude just out there for a walk and having some fun and, you know, getting into scrapes and having a good time and doing his thing. And so you want to kind of really bring, you know, in your life into all different aspects, into Instagram, into Facebook, and then to be able to engage your audience through stuff like Messenger bots and Facebook bots so that, you know, you can have the conversations with your audience where they are, you know, in that one-on-one environment, of course, even though you're not necessarily that one person on the other side of it, your chatbot is. But if you do it right, then, you know, your audience can feel like they're really having a more intimate experience.
Have you had any successes with the chatbots yet?
Yeah, a lot of successes. I mean, it's a very high open rate, a really high click-through rate. You know, and I've also had a lot of failures with it as well, where, you know, we're learning the platform, so we're doing a lot of things wrong. But I'm totally okay with making mistakes and having failures, because we're just learning. And, you know, I could wait around and figure out, you know, how to do it perfectly. But by then, you know, it would just, all this time would have passed. So we're definitely always testing, always doing, always, you know, failing, always succeeding, and always doing things in the middle and just kind of at the ends, you know, really trying to look back and see what worked and what didn't.
Can you share some of these things that worked and didn't, some specifics so that people can get a better idea?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that worked is like, you know, just promoting different webinars that we do and saying, hey, we're starting a webinar in 15 minutes. In fact, you know, the chat's happening right now. All you need to do is click this link if you want to come hang out, you know, Tom or John or Sarah or Bob, and letting them do that is getting, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people to our webinar that otherwise might not have been there because they're just in the moment taking action. Something that hasn't worked is, you know, you're supposed to be able to unsubscribe from my chatbot when you like, you know, type in stop or unsubscribe. And for a while, that just wasn't working to the level it was supposed to be working, you know, which we've since fixed. But at the time, you know, we just didn't really know what we didn't know. And we were just kind of, you know, the blind leading the blinds.
Are you planning on any new marketing strategies in 2018 or mostly sticking with the webinars? Do you really think that's the main thing that's going to carry you forward still?
Yeah. I'd say, you know, I'll be doing some more live stuff like on Instagram and Facebook. But, you know, besides that, it's just, you know, kind of continuing to move forward, stay eyes wide open, see what's working for other people. You know, like one of your prior guests, Chris Brogan, I love watching him and seeing what he's doing and just seeing, you know, what works.
Cool. Okay, John, I know we're pretty much at the hard stop. So where can people find you?
All the magic in my world happens at eofire.com. You can subscribe to the podcast there. We have killer free courses that are just quick, fun, and they're free and teach you about podcasting, webinars, funnels, goals, productivity. So get over there, check out one of those free courses, check all of them out because they're free. It's just your time. And eofire.com. That's the last call to action.
Okay. Thank you for coming on.
I really enjoyed it. Take care, brother.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.